The scripture readings today come from Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 1 through 3a, and verses 14 through 25. And then I will be reading from the book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 18 through 24. Joshua 24, the tribes renew the covenant. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Tahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring, gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau." Chapter 14, verse 14. "Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you're unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it for us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples and the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, also we will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you, and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. Amos. The day of the Lord, a dark day. "Alas for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light. As if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. It is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your festivals. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Thus ends the reading.
Martin Luther King begins his autobiography by stating this. He says, "Of course I'm religious. I grew up in a church. My father is a preacher. My grandfather was a preacher. My great-grandfather was a preacher. My brother is a preacher. And my daddy's brother is a preacher. So I don't have much of a choice." I think Reverend Dr. King, like all of us, had some choices. And he chose to make his choice with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, and with all of his strength. And today, listening to this scripture, I wonder if Reverend King also heard those scriptures when he was growing up. I wonder if he recognized the situation to be similar. Joshua speaks of this situation, of a community of Israel with a historical covenant relationship with God, but nevertheless, a community that also needed to choose. They also needed to live into that relationship with God. Choices. Our scripture today is from the last chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua is a hard book to read. There's a lot of really, really nasty stuff in that book. But I think last week's scripture and this week's scripture kind of frame the point. Joshua, in the chapter, at the very beginning, is calling the people together. The leaders, the officials, the military brass, everyone must come to present themselves before God. And then verse 2 says, Joshua said to the people. Got that all in one line there. And I was wondering this week about the gap, about the time between when Joshua invited everybody and when they showed up, because they didn't have mass transit, they didn't have cars, huh? And I wonder what it felt for Joshua and for those people. They were probably people that Joshua had known his whole life. They were from all the tribes. There were probably warriors that had fought. There were families who had laughed and cried together. And there were probably people also that were mourning the death of their dear ones that they had lost in battle. And then there probably also was this very large group of young people that were filled with energy and anticipation of the future. The conquest was pretty much in the past, and a bright future loomed before them, and Joshua must have thought of the time when the venerable old Moses had turned over leadership to him, and how afraid he, Joshua, was of doing that leadership role. And I think he also knew that he was not alone, because God promised that he would be with him. Now Joshua is in the same spot. He's at the end of his journey, just like Moses. And he would deliver, right now, his last sermon to the people, and he would ask them to commit themselves to God, just as Moses had done before him. So the people came to Shechem to renew their covenant with God. And Joshua recounts the history of this covenant relationship. He begins by remembering their very distant past of long ago, and when the ancestors of Israelites lived in the land beyond the river, the Euphrates. And Joshua tells that what God did to those ancestors, he gave them descendants, he gave them a good land, and he afflicted their enemies, and he brought them out of slavery, and he brought them to a new land. He gave them victory. Joshua doesn't remember just Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He goes back to Abraham's father and his brother, Nahor. In doing so, he's showing us from the story's beginning that there was always these undercurrents of the Israelites' faithlessness. Verse 2 says that Terah and Nahor served other gods. From the beginning of Israel's history, then, there's evidence of those who did not choose to serve Yahweh or their Lord. Against that background of polytheistic ancestors who served other gods, Joshua exhorts the people to fear and to serve God in complete faithfulness. Serve God becomes the core refrain of Joshua's message. He uses these words over and over again. And the Israelites have been freed from slavery in Egypt, but their freedom is not absolute. They've moved from being Pharaoh's slaves and servants to being God's servants. But there is a difference. Unlike the slavery and the service that they did in Egypt, this time they must choose to serve God. In fact, Joshua recognizes that serving God may not be something that the people even want to do. This covenant thing, this loyalty thing, this serving thing is complicated. Joshua recognizes this complicated truth. You will either serve the Lord your God, or you're going to serve your own interest. In this case, these other gods. And these other gods are very, very attractive because they've promised good harvest, fertility, prosperity, favorable weather, and many more things. And after all these were comforts in the ancient life, things that would make their life a whole lot easier, all you had to do was make the appropriate sacrifices and do the right rituals, and you would be okay. Service to these gods demanded care comparatively little over against the demands of the God of Israel. The God of Israel demands much more than proper ritual and worship. The God of Israel demands justice within the community. The God of Israel is concerned about the poor, the widow, and the orphan. The God of Israel demands concern for the stranger, for the homeless, for the marginalized. And then he adds on that proper religious practice. Today in our second reading in Amos, God says what his priorities are. He says, I hate and I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. The offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon them. Take away the noise of your song. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But, says the Lord, let justice roll down like waters. Let righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Joshua knows that this God demands more of God's people. So Joshua says, choose. Choose this day who you will serve. Now, I believe community is central to the life of God's people, but there's still this choice that we each have to make in our own hearts. Our parents can't do that for us. Our brothers and sisters cannot make that choice for us. The choice has to be made by us, not by some kind of osmosis comes from just showing up here. It's more than that. There is a choosing that each of us must do for ourselves. And Joshua lays that choice before the people. He says, revere the Lord and serve him faithfully. And then he expresses his testimony, his beliefs. He says, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. We're all going to serve the Lord. Now, I believe that is the power of authentic church. This amazing weaving together of our own personal faith, and yet this commitment to God as the people of God. When we add your faith to my faith, that strengthens my faith. And when we strengthen each other's faith. So you kind of get the idea there. We need to be together. Amazing, isn't it? Since the time of Joshua, the world has changed in ways we can barely express. Yet the same injunction is true for us today as it is for the people back then. Revere God. Live faithful lives. There are literally millions of things that can divide us and can change and refocus our loyalties. Millions of distractions that redirect our focus. We, like Joshua and the Israelites, need to remember where we have been, where we are right now, and where we are going. We too have been called and loved and forgiven. We've been assured by Jesus himself that he will be with us always. I think, at least for me, that I take that for granted sometimes. I think that we have learned to divide our commitments and our loyalties. We have this one person that is out in the world, and then we have this other person that shows up here on Sunday. And that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing to get past. But each time we gather here, each time we come to this place, I think this is, in a sense, a renewal ceremony. It's a covenant time where we renew that covenant with God. We're given the opportunity to remember once again who we are, where we are going, and how we got here. And each time we come together, we answer the question, who do you serve? Christians have a long history of trying to squeeze Jesus out of public life and reduce him to this little private savior. The idea of I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I believe. But I think that ignores a whole lot of Jesus' teaching. Jesus talks a great deal about the kingdom of God. And everywhere Jesus went, that's what he did. He broke the vicious cycles of poverty and bondage and fear and death, and he healed. He transformed, he empowered, and he brought new life. And I think that's what we as the body of Christ right now, right here, are called to do. A couple of weeks ago, Pat gave us a beautiful history lesson of this place, of the history of this church. She talked about the power players, the famous, the rich, the influential, the people with names of streets named after them. That is where we have been. That is what God has done. And today, we have another question. This question. Because of who Jesus is and who Jesus calls us to be, who shall we be? Who shall we be in the light of what God has done? Who shall we be in our community? Who shall I be in the light of what God has done? Who will you each be in the light of what God has done? Amen.